When I consider thy heavens, thy work of thy fingers, thy moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yes, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. Our Lord, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So the title of the message this morning is, What is Man that Thou Art Mindful of Him? This brings to mind, what is man that you love him? What is man to the Lord? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank you for the word that we have, that we can go to in times of need, and the scriptures answer our prayers. We can go to when we feel fearful, and you answer our prayers. We can go to when we're glad, and you warm our hearts. Father, this book answers all questions of life. We're thankful for it. We're thankful for your love that brought us this book and brought us salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you for your love, and we ask for your blessings this morning. In Jesus' name. You know, God sent his son, Jesus, to become a man. And he went to Calvary to redeem fallen humanity. We were talking this morning in Sunday school about how this old body, as long as it walks this earth, is subject to sin. But yet, God forgives us when we ask for it. He forgives the way we act, the way we talk, the way we walk, the things we do. He is a forgiving God. If he wasn't a forgiving God, he would not have sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. See, the price was paid for that redemption proclaims to us the worth of man to God, which, in fact, is God's highest creation. The fact that he sent Jesus proves his love for us. The fact that Jesus died on the cross proves the love of God and the love of Jesus. And the fact that the Holy Spirit stays with you and leads you and guides you proves the love of the Trinity. And for that, we can be thankful. We should rejoice in our creation and the price that was paid for our redemption. But what is man? Well, you know, these verses tell us that God is mindful of man. And that means that no matter where you go, no matter where you walk, no matter what you say, or no matter what you're doing, God's watching. God is there. He is mindful of every single thing we do. And he gives us lives to remind us of the things we do. And the reason I say that is because that's true. Sometimes it takes the wives to keep the husbands on the right path, and it takes the husbands to keep the wives on the right path. So that tells us both of you working together to help keep your children on the right path.
Amen.
And so God is mindful of us, and to the point that he visits us daily. That's what the Bible says. We are visited daily by the love of God. But you know, the question remains, just what is man? You know, he's small in comparison with the world. You take the world in its entirety, and man is a small thing in that world. Minute, very small. But God knows of our existence. He knows, Faye, what you're going through. Miss Joe, he knows what you're going through. William, Brother Carl, Brother Mark, Brother Ron, he knows what we're going through. And we are so minute in this world that we live in, but yet God knows everything there is to know about us. Well, I got to tell you, God's got to love us to want to know everything there is to know about us. So we have to be mindful of that love of God. Man's life is short compared to some animals that God created. You know, we have, you know, you take the tortoise, you know, they live, what, 150 years, something like that? Feeling like I feel normally during the week, I'd hate to think what I'd think about in another 70 years. I'd hate to think how I would feel. How I'd walk, but you know, it doesn't make any difference how I would feel, how I'd walk, as long as I'm walking with God.
Amen.
So we have to walk with God, and He shines His light of love on us. Now, I'm a firm believer that man was created, not that we ourselves have the light, but the light of God is reflected from us as a Christian. And it's up to us to show that same love toward others that God shows toward us. He gives us a long enough life span on this earth. The reason I say that, the Bible tells us, is that when we're created, there's also a time to die. It's already been set aside. So it doesn't make any difference what I'm doing that day. If that's the day it's time for me to go, I'm going. I have no say-so in it. It's of God. But you know what the joy is in that? God brings His saints home. There's the love of God again, huh? He brings us home. An eternal home. You know, man is not as strong as an ox. You know, I started to put it in there, we're not as strong as an ox and a mule, but you know, mules get kind of stubborn sometimes, and everybody knows us men are not stubborn. We're just kind of set in our ways. But man is not as strong as an ox. Man is not as strong as a mule. But have you ever thought that a man is more helpless in infancy than any other creation that God made? You know, a little colt gets up and stands the first day. And you stop and think how God created the animals, that they are able to get up and to run and defend themselves within a few days of being born. Well, God created us. And I believe this. You know, I had Christian parents, and I believe that when I was created, that my parents blessed me with God's love. And I knew that it didn't make any difference where I was in infancy. When I was scared or when I had to run, all I had to do was run to God. 3 months old, I could run to God. Not because I myself was doing it, but because of my parents. They loved me enough to introduce me to God at a young age. As I got older, I realized that I can run to God with anything, any problem. I can run to Him, and He is there to help me. Man is created in the image of God. The Bible says that he is created in the image of God. And he has almost infinite possibilities of things that he can accomplish on this earth. The number one thing that we can accomplish is be a Christian. Not just be one in name, be one in actions. Be one in love. Be one together with God. Let Him be the leader. Let Him be the instigator. And follow along with what He tells you to do. But the most important thing about man is we can have fellowship with God. I can't believe nobody smiled in that. We can have fellowship with God. If that don't make your heart glad this morning, you need to get it right. Your heart needs to be right with God, and then you have fellowship with Him. He will bring the joy when you think joy cannot come. He'll bring healing when you think He hasn't heard your prayer. He will deliver you from the problems of this world because He hears us, because He loves us. But we have fellowship with Him. And I don't care, you know, I don't care if it was like last night when we had our banquet. It was all about the love of God. Our banquet last night wasn't Valentine's Day banquet. It was celebrating God's love. That's what we were there to do. Because without God's love, you cannot truly love another person. There's a difference between loving your husband or your wife, but there's a difference in loving them when you have God inside. It makes a difference. It shows through in the type of person you are. But you stop and think also, man can do a lot of things wrong. Most of the ladies shook their face and the guys just kind of, But man can do a lot of things wrong. That's the good thing about being a Christian, we don't have to be perfect. We'll be perfect later. Right now, we are children of God fighting an enemy in this world. We're fighting the enemy, but the battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. So we are created in His image, and we have that same love in our hearts for others that He has for us. Man is a traveler in this world. He is living from the time he was born to the time he enters eternity. So man is a traveler, and God sees that. And where we travel, we should leave the Word of God and a ray of sunshine. Because of who we are. We will spend eternity in one of two places. We'll either spend it in hell or in heaven. And I got to tell you, I think I would rather go to heaven. This world's rough enough. I'm ready for heaven when He calls. But whatever we do, we have to answer to God for our earthly choices. You know, if I accept Jesus as my Savior, but I don't live for Him 100% like I'm supposed to, I'll have to answer for those things. But the good thing is, He's a forgiving God. I can come to Him expressing forgiveness and He will forgive me. But God is mindful of us. We see that throughout the Bible, from Genesis all the way through Revelation. He is mindful of us. He provided for our salvation. He knew that there was nothing in this world that could be used as a sacrifice to save us. Now, if I, as a pastor of the church, said, take me and nail me to the cross, that's not going to do any good, because this blood in me is sinful blood. It's blood of the world that operates this body. So, if you shed my blood, you're shedding contaminated blood, because it's contaminated by the world. But Jesus' blood was whole. It was of heaven. It was not of the earth. It was of heaven. And therefore, He was the only sacrifice that could be given for us that would truly take away the sin. He supplies our every need. It's what I was saying a while ago. If you need guidance, He'll supply it. If you need healing, He'll supply it. If you need strength, He'll give it. If you go to Him and ask. So He supplies our needs. And He gives us light for negotiating our path in this world that we're in. He gives us light. I mean, we can recognize sin when we're getting close to it, can't we? We can recognize sin when we sin, can't we? But He sheds a light on our path that we might walk the way He wants us to walk, the straight and narrow way. He sheds light on our way. You stray off of His path and things, or His path and things get darker. Things get darker. So He gives us light. But He also gives us grace for the trials of this life. You know, I don't want to, we're getting close to Valentine's Day, so I don't want to say these things too loudly, but you know, sometimes Belinda has to show grace to me because I sometimes get on that sinful path. I know y'all don't believe that, but it's a true story. I do. I get off the path. I get off the path and on the war path. And sometimes she has to say something to bring me back, make me realize what I'm doing. But that's what wives and husbands do for each other. We love each other and we guide each other. And I don't like to use the word criticism, so, because I don't think it's criticism. It's more than this. Do you realize what you just said? Do you realize what you just did? And it brings us around to where we need to be. So God uses the wives in the husband's life, and the husbands in the wives' life, and the two of them together spread it to their children's life. And that's what we're to do. But most of all, He's provided a place for all eternity for us, a heavenly place, a place where He will be if we do our part. And what is our part? It's not living a sinless life, because that's not going to happen. It's living a life for Him. Living a life for Him. Just because you commit a sin doesn't mean God doesn't love you anymore. He probably loves you more in that moment than He did before, because He wants you back to where you were. So God provided a place for us to go. God visits us. Do y'all believe God visits you? In Luke 1:68, it says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited and redeemed His people." It's the same with us today. He visits us in the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you're thinking, boy, I tell you what, I know how I want to respond to that statement. And the Lord says, no, that's not the way. The Holy Spirit says, that's not the way. That's not the way. And He'll guide you in the path. So the Holy Spirit is there, and the Holy Spirit visits us daily, 24 hours a day. Jesus visits us at salvation. Jesus is there. Jesus is urging the heart to come forward. Jesus visits us early in life and all along the way. Early in life. That means that He's with us. Jesus is with us before we ever accept Him as our Savior. He's with us. Because as a babe in Christ, you're loved and you're held by the Holy Spirit. You know, He may visit us to commend us for doing a good job. He may visit us to encourage us when we need encouragement. And He may visit us to inspire us, to give us assurance that He will always be near. The Bible says all we have to do is call on His name. And He's there. God magnifies us. You ever thought about that? God can take a nobody God can take a nobody and turn that nobody into somebody that he can use. So there's not anyone here this morning that can say, well, I'm just a nobody. No. You're somebody to God. And you're somebody to us as church family. And our job as a church family is to encourage each other. Pray for each other when we need it. Help each other when we're in need. Feed the pastor taters and onions sometimes. Couldn't resist that one.
Maybe next time.
But the thing is, without my wife and without y'all, what am I? What am I? I'm a shepherd of nothing? No. With you as my family, I'm the shepherd of the flock, the shepherd of the family. Does that mean I'm sinless? No. Does that mean I'm always right? No. Does that mean I can't be wrong? No, I can be pretty wrong. So we're all subject to each other. That's why I tell y'all, if I say something that you don't agree with, come to me and let's talk about it. There's nothing that says I'm right. We just have to look and see what the Bible says. But God can turn a nobody into somebody. You know, he can lift us up from the shades of night to the pains of light. You ever done that? Get up in the morning, there's no lights on in the house, and you walk into the room, and the room is so dark, you stump your toe on the dresser, you fall over the dressing table stool, and you finally make it to the restroom, and you can't find the toilet. Well, you know what? That's the kind of darkness I'm talking about in the world. But God can take that darkness of night and turn it into panes of light, that his light shines through. And we can see with our heart's eyes the things that God wants us to do. Jesus and the Holy Spirit give us good standing with God. Each one of you is in good standing with God this morning if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. It gives us access to the grace of God. It gives us access to the love of God. And it gives us an inheritance that will never fade away. Never. Now that's something to smile about, so if y'all want to smile, just feel free. I like that, from the shades of night to the pains of light. There's just something special about thinking that God can do those things. You see, God has set his heart upon man, you and me. God has set his heart upon us. His heart is to save everyone who will permit him to come in. That's a good thing. And to do everything that he can to make us useful vessels for him. God has a plan for each one of us. I don't know what his plan is for you. That's something you have to pray to God about. I don't know what his plan is. I mean, just think about God's plan. One of these days, Jordan may be a big preacher in a big church in Dallas. You never know. We don't know. We just don't know. But we do know that if you allow him, God can use you. God can use you. God can use a man even more when he has a good Christian woman by his side.
Amen.
And God can use a Christian woman to touch a Christian man, or a Christian man to touch a Christian woman, or to touch a woman. That's all part of the family plan, you see. But God has a plan for you and for your life. And it's up to you to get with God and find out what that plan is. Because He will let you know. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." We are all called to be used by God. We may not know His purpose for us yet. And if He hasn't revealed it and you pray for it, when you least expect it, you're going to find out what it is. Because God loves you. And since God has set His heart upon us, why don't we fix our hearts on Him? If He set His heart on us that He is mindful of man, we need to set our hearts on Him that we're mindful of Him and who He is and what He's done for us. What He's brought. We need to be mindful of God and what He's done. If we are so in His mind, our mind needs to be on Him too. Why don't we give Him the first place in our hearts? Sometimes that's hard to do. If you're a new Christian, it's hard to do. But you know what? All you got to do is say, "Lord, I don't know what your plan is, but I just ask you to use me and reveal to me what it is you want me to do. And I'm willing." And I guarantee you there'll be something that God has for you to do for Him. Why don't we do all that we can to bring others to faith in Jesus Christ? That's one of the things He has for us to do. In Matthew, we were told to go and tell. To make disciples. Because that's what God wanted us to do. Why don't we start the joy bells ringing by doing what God leads us to do instead of putting it off? Yep, I said that. Instead of putting it off, just do what it is God wants us to do. You know, one of the things that some Christians don't understand is going to Sunday school is not going to make you a Christian. Going to worship service is not going to make you a Christian. Going to Sunday night service is not going to make you a Christian. Going to Wednesday night service is not going to make you a Christian. You can go to church all you want to. Christian, being a Christian is not going to church. Being a Christian is serving God. Accepting Him inside. And until you accept Him inside and you spread your arms and say, "Lord, use me in whatever capacity you have for me." Being a member of the church does not make you a Christian. Believing in Jesus, confessing your sin to Him, and asking Him to live in you with a true, repentant, Bible-believing heart makes you a Christian. Accepting Him, asking for forgiveness, that's what makes you a Christian. Being baptized doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when you do, a whole new love enters this body. Comes through the heart, and you begin to look at people with different eyes. You begin to look at people as, "Oh, it's a child of God, child of God, child of God." There's all these children of God in here. And then you start looking outside these doors. And you start telling others about Jesus Christ. Not just inviting them to church, inviting them to Jesus Christ. That's the key. That's what we're to do. He loves us enough to send His Son to die for us. Don't you think we could love Him enough to preach His Word? Amen. We need to. The blood of Jesus makes you a Christian, and it's not automatic just because Mom and Dad were Christians. But the thing is, this morning, here, right now, if you're not a Christian, you can be when you leave this service today. He can and will save you from a fiery, eternal pit, but you have to reach out to Him. He's already reaching out to you this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, as we reach out to you this morning, I ask you, Lord, to touch every heart here. If there be one who has not accepted you as Savior, Lord, I pray that today they will be led to you. If there's one here who would like to join the church, Father, and be a part of our family, I pray that they let us know during the invitation time. And if there be anyone here who's not sure of what their purpose is for you, Father, I pray that they would lift themselves up to you today, Father, that you might answer their prayer and show them what you have for them to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.